This is our season. Will you say that with me? Say, this is our season. Now tell your neighbor on your left and your right, this is our season. Go ahead. This is our season. Today is really about calling you to action. I'm calling you to rise up. I'm calling you out. Maybe some of you might feel called out, but I promise I'm not calling you out individually. I'm calling us out as a congregation. But most of all, I'm calling us to recognize the season, not that we're entering into, but the season that we are in. Everyone say, this is our season. And I believe it's a season of action. It's a season where we no longer make excuses. It's a season where we say yes to God. It's a season where we obey His voice. It's a season where we stop delaying and stop procrastinating and really engage with what God is asking us to do. How many know this is our season? Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 3, I'm reading out of the Voice translation, says, "Teacher, for everything that happens in life, there is a season, a right time for everything under heaven." Verse 2 goes on to say, "A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to collect harvest, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build." We see all these contrasts that King Solomon is writing about, and he's wanting to show us that timing is so important to the kingdom, but what I want to share with you is that timing is so important for our body and for our church. The New American Standard says it this way, that there is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event. The word event means delight. How many want to delight in your next season? Come on, so many folks fight their season, but the Lord, listen, the Lord wants you to delight in your season. And it's possible to delight in the season that we're in, even if it's a tough season. How many know it's possible to delight in Christ? Listen, even if you're going and having a fantastic time, God doesn't want you to take it for granted. He wants you to delight and revel in His goodness and His glory. The Message says there's an opportune time to do things, a right time. Everybody say right time. There's a right time for everything on earth. So it's important to understand the times and seasons as it relates not only to our lives, but to our church family. It's so exciting. Listen, when people come to you in the front row and say, "Pastor Dean, we've got to tell everybody to squeeze in," because how many know we're in a season where God is adding to us? And so I've got good news and I've got bad news. You want the good news first? The good news is we're getting packed out. The bad news is I need about 50 or 75 of you to commit to coming to Saturday night or the 9 a.m. Why is that important? Because 11 o'clock is the primary time that guests come to church. So how many will help me make room? All right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, next week, 9 a.m., and then when we start our Saturday night on Easter weekend, choose one of those two. But we want to make room for what God is doing, amen? Seasons, let me tell you what a season seasons are. Seasons are a series of events, experiences, occurrences, and occasions made up of set times, everybody say set times, which have a beginning date and an end date. So just like the four seasons, right, that we experience in the natural, in with nature, right, we have a springtime, right? And spring was supposed to start March 21st, but because of the rain and the cold, how many know it still feels like winter, right? So springtime has a set time, March 21st to June 20th. And then every year I know exactly when summer's gonna start, because you need to take notes here. June 21st is my birthday. Just highlight that right now. Put that down. But we experience summer from June 21st to September 20th. And then fall comes, and that's September 21st to December 20th. And then winter is supposed to be between December 21st and March 20th. What I want you to see is that within a season set times, there are appointed times and right times for things to take place. In other words, it's springtime. And how many know springtime means opening day in Little League? Or for some of you that are playing Little League, you know you just got started because of the rain, so you've been frustrated. But this week, you were able to start playing baseball, right? I guess none of you play Little League or got kids that play Little League, but that's what happened. Springtime is the time to plant gardens. It's when flowers bloom and allergies kick in, right? Unless you live in Sacramento and you know they're just annual allergies. It's year around. Then comes summer and school gets out. We go on a vacation or we have a staycation. We go swimming. Come on, the shorts come out. The tank tops come out. And then fall comes because now it's too hot, right? Summer comes, right? We're going to be complaining by August, right? It's too hot. I can't wait to the fall. Right now we're complaining because there's too much rain. But then the fall comes and football season kicks off. The kids are back to school. All the moms are happy. Come on. Leaves start to fall off the trees. The sweaters start to come out. And the holidays begin. There are set times. And then winter rolls in and we start shopping. We see our family during the holidays that one time a year, praise God. And then the Christmas song playlists are getting worn out and we start to think about our New Year's resolutions. Because what? There are seasons. And just like there are seasons we experience because of nature, there are seasons that we need to pay attention to in our Christian life as a church family, come on, and as a congregation and as a body. I want to tell you, as your pastor this morning, we have to get in sync with our season. We have to get in sync. We have to get in aligned with the season that we're in. How many know if I started Christmas shopping right now, and I know some of you do, about three of you do, but how do you know if I started Christmas shopping now, I'm going to probably pay a higher price now than if I wait until the sales come, right? Why? Because I'm shopping what? Out of season. I'm going to pay more money, a higher price. There's not going to be any holiday bargains. We have to get in sync with the season that we are in as a church, and that's how I want to express my heart today. I just want to give you a quick example of missing a season. Last fall, I attempted to relaunch our small groups, but as a staff, we were not ready. And what this pastor did, right, because there were so many people saying, I'm not connecting, and Pastor Dean, we used to do these groups, and I was just trying to make, how many of you ever just tried to make it happen? And what your pastor did, just point to me and say it was his fault. And what this pastor did was everybody who signed up to lead a group during that time, they had a bad experience. You see, what was happening was I was doing the right thing at the wrong time. Fast forward to January of this year, we relaunched groups. Tom Belt came alongside of me and was helping me facilitate and helping manage the groups and touching base with leaders. And how many know in January we had a better experience because, come on, we did the right thing in the right time with the right people. And so what happened? People got deeper in their relationship with God. They got deeper in their connections with one another. Why? Because we aligned ourselves, come on, and we got synced with our season. Solomon teaches us that the seasons of our life are also filled with appointed times. So there's set times, right? There's seasons when things are certain things happen, but then there's appointed times. What are appointed times? Appointed times are appointments that God has arranged for you and I to have at just the right time. It's been amazing over these last 33 days of the fast. How we know there's only seven more to go. Hallelujah. But over these last 33 days, listen, the divine appointments, listen, that God has arranged for me and my wife in this fasting season. How many know when God commits to show up, we need to show up? And how we know he orders our steps. Come on, he makes sure that we arrive, the promises of God arrive on time in our life. So we have these appointed times, appointments that God has arranged for you and I to have at the right times. What is a right time? This is on the screen. A right time is defined as the arrival of a sudden or unexpected activity of an event, experience, occurrence, or occasion. Here, this is not up there on the screen. Good or difficult. You need to make sure that you get this. Good or difficult that God has designed and determined to happen in certain seasons of our lives. Everybody say, on purpose, for a purpose. You see, just because it's our season, everybody say our season, doesn't mean, listen, that we're not gonna have to work hard. What I want you to see is, and the reason why I had the youth come up here today so that we could celebrate them and honor them is because, listen, I believe we are in a sowing and reaping season. And what we've seen these young people do in a very short amount of time is that we've seen them sow with hard work and practice. Some of you parents are clapping that took your kids here. Yes, yes. Listen, they came on Monday nights and Tuesday nights and Wednesday nights. And up until I think it was Thursday night and Friday night, Pastor Isaiah was like, hey, Pastor Dean, I got to go to the church. Some kids, they got to keep on practicing, right? So we honor and we clap because of what they receive. But many times, listen, we're not aware of what they sowed, right? And so listen, what I want you to say, it doesn't mean, just because it's our season, doesn't mean there's not going to be hard work involved. You might be asking yourself, why is this happening to me right now? Anybody there? I don't understand why I'm going through this. And I just want to say to you as your pastor, God says there's a purpose in that difficulty. There's a purpose behind even that question. The family that was renting our home, we moved to Natomas over a year ago, and we're renting a home here in North Natomas, and we weren't emotionally, Amy and I weren't, we lived in that house for 15 years, lots of memories. And so when we left that house, we decided to rent it. And to be honest with you, it's kind of a stressful experience. Had never done that before. Kind of a stressful experience to rent your house to somebody that you don't know. And then you drive by and weeds are growing up. And you're like, man, if the outside looks like that, I wonder what the inside looks like. I mean, I got friends, because I lived on that street for 15 years. I got friends sending me pictures of like piles of weeds on the driveway. And I'm like, dude, don't send those to me. I don't want to know anything about it, right? And so the family that was renting our house, I get a phone call from our property manager, and he says, hey, the family that was renting your house, they broke lease early. You know what that means, right? That means I'm on the line for my rent, and now I'm on the line now for my mortgage, all right? So this was unexpected. How many know? Unexpected events. It was inconvenient. But in the process, we discovered God's purpose. You see, we were getting the house ready to rent again. I was cleaning it. They were asking me, hey, do you want us to do this? They wanted like $175 to change a doorknob. I was like, I'll do it for $12.99. No, thank you. And so like, I'm like changing the doorknob, you know, I'm changing the doorknob, and I'd been going back and forth to Folsom to try to get the house ready. We had friends coming to look at the house, and then they'd end up not wanting it. And then we go back and fix something else, and I'm screwing the doorknob on. And Amy says this, she asked me this question. She says, do you think we need to sell this house? I said, yes, we need to sell this house. You see, it wasn't the right season a year ago, but we're in a whole different place. Amy and I are a whole different place emotionally. Hello. And now it came about because how many know God uses the Holy Spirit, come on, and your spouse to speak to you? Come on. So when she said, do you think we should sell the house? I was like, amen, hallelujah, right? And we sold our home. And I'll tell you the rest of the testimony next week, all right? God did some amazing things, let me tell you. But Romans 8:28 says, we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called, are called according to his purpose. Even when it's hard, even when it's difficult, even when you feel like quitting, God's purpose, come on, is being revealed in your life. Even when you want to give up, even when you want to stop going to church because somebody ticked you off or somebody stepped on your toes, listen, there's a purpose. God is getting you ready for something bigger than you're experiencing right now. The other side of the coin is this, that you might really be experiencing favor and blessings and open doors and everything is going right. And as your pastor, I want to say, don't waste his purpose. Because this is generally the time when things are going our way, when blessings are coming, when favor is coming. It's like you can do nothing wrong. And even when you do something wrong, God makes it right. You guys ever been there? And a lot of times we're so caught up with all the great things he's doing is we waste that season. Because we don't recognize that he's trying to get us ready for the season that's coming ahead. You see, a lot of people will waste a season of favor and blessing because they didn't understand the purpose of the blessing and favor was to position them for their next season. And that's what we could learn from Joseph's life. That's what these paintings are. But the one of him in the pit, when he got the promotion in the palace and he became the second in command of all of Egypt. How many of you know if he wouldn't have paid attention to his dreams, if he wouldn't have paid attention to his season, he could have gave all the grain away. He could have gave all the things. But no, he knew his season. And what did he do? He saved and he saved and he saved and he saved. And then when famine came, guess what he did? He distributed. You see, God's favor and blessing in this season for you is not to waste it on yourself. It's to bless somebody else. And that's why Moses writes to us in Deuteronomy 8, verse 11. He says, but that is the time to be careful, the time of blessing. This is what Moses is saying. He's like, when things are going really good, this is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty, you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I'm giving you today. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Everybody say, be careful. And then verse 14, he says, do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God. Verse 15, do not forget what he led you through. It goes on to say what he gave you. Verse 16, what he fed you. Verse 17, he did all this so you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Verse 18, remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant. You see, Moses was basically warning the people of Israel, in your season of success, don't forget about the season ahead. Hello? It's easy to see, listen, these great things that God is doing in our church financially and say, oh, praise God, we've hit our goals, come on. Oh, come on, and we just start spending that money. No, that's not how it works, right? No, now we start putting it away and we have some reserves, right? And so why? So that if something ever happens, something breaks, a leak, like we got 10 leaks around here right now. But if something happens, we have reserves, come on, and we can pay for those things, come on, without taking a second offering. Come on. But God wants us to use wisdom with what he's put in our hands now. Moses was basically warning the people of Israel, in your season of success, Don't forget about the season ahead. You see, the key is to understand the season we are in so we're doing the right things at the right time. And as we enter into this last week of the fast, I just heard the Holy Spirit speak to my heart, this is our season. Will you say that with me? This is our season. And it was really confirmed this week and yesterday because of the success of the youth at the Fine Arts Festival, because it really showed me, listen, that these youth were bought in. Pastor Isaiah said to them, hey, we're going to do the fine arts. They didn't even know what fine arts was, right? They just said yes. They started working on their giftings and talents. Some of them were preaching, just all these things, rapping, singing, dancing, doing all these things. They just bought in to what Pastor Isaiah was saying. And when they went yesterday, they had no idea, listen, that what God had planned, that God had planned for them to be reapers of what they sown. And listen, they didn't know, listen, eight of them didn't know that they'd walk out with gold. Come on, and a trip to Orlando. Are you kidding me? They said, Pastor Dean, you're going to have to raise some money for us now. And we will. We're going to have a youth service in June, and that whole day is going to go towards them and raising the money they need to go. Come on. If we're going to sow into our youth, we're going to send our youth too, all right? So the heart is this, that together as a church, we had experienced a season of heavenly activity through the arrival of a series of events, experiences, and occurrences by doing the right things in God's right time. And my first point is this, it is a season to sow, a season to sow. Many of you have been sowing a long time, but Psalm 126, 5-6 says, those who walk the fields to sow, casting their seed in tears, will one day tread those same long rows, amazed by what's appeared. Those who weep as they walk and plant with sighs will return singing with joy when they bring home the harvest. My family is from Louisiana, and my grandfather was a farmer, and so he would plant black-eyed peas. How many like black-eyed peas? All right, there's about seven of you that even know what they are. Black-eyed peas, and so purple hull black-eyed peas. And so he would plant these, and my cousins and I, we knew what it meant when he planted those. That meant that we were going to be working hard to harvest the purple hull black-eyed peas in the summer. And so he would give us these 5-gallon buckets, and he would say, hey, boys, we say, yeah, Papa. He'd say, you see that row right there? He said, yeah, he said, you're going to go all the way down that row, and you see that 5-gallon bucket? You're going to fill it with peas. And so we'd grab our buckets, and about the fifth plant, man, it was so hot and humid, that row just seemed to get longer and longer and longer. You see, some of you, you've been walking down the black-eyed pea hole, and you just seem like you've been sowing, but listen, that row just seems to get longer and longer and longer and longer. But I'm just telling you right now, God's about to fill your bucket with blessing. God's about to overflow your bucket with something. Why? Because one day, come on, you'll tread those same long rows amazed by what's appeared. You see, I believe we have to raise the level of expectation in our hearts, and it really starts with our staff, and it starts with the leadership, and then it starts with this entire congregation. But it's believing this, that the spiritual seed we have sown is about to spring forth in the natural. Hosea 10:12 says, sow for yourselves righteousness. Sometimes we just stop with the sowing, but it goes on to say, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. Why? Because it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. You see, there has to be an expectation in our hearts that what we've sown, we're going to reap. And I want to encourage you, get your hopes up. Tell your neighbor, get your hopes up. See, so many of us are used to sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing and gone. Hey, what happened to so-and-so? Well, the last time I seen them, they were sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing. But listen, we've got to get our hopes once again up as the church that we're also going to reap what we sowed. You see, we've become expert sowers and we've made excuses why we're not reaping. You see, the principle of the kingdom is sowing and reaping, not sowing, 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 sowing. Can you imagine a farmer who plants but never harvests? They call that bankruptcy. And we have so many bankrupt believers in the spirit. Listen, they've sowed their time. Come on, they've sowed their tithe. They sowed their lives. They sowed everything they have, but they lost sight. They got discouraged. They got disappointed, and they've never reaped. And I'm telling you, what's never been reaped is still in the ground. It's still in the ground. The power of a seed. There are stories. There are stories of seeds that have been found that are 2,000 years old that are still full of life and ready to burst forth when planted in the right soil. See, God wants to give us our expectation level. He wants to lift our faith level to believe. Listen, when we sow, that also shall we reap. Thank you. 2 Corinthians 9, 6, he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Galatians 6, 7, 8, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. I get so excited. I've been praying this prayer book that we've had. These prayers are prophetic. These prayers are declarations. I'm reading it, and it's like it's exactly where our church is at. It's an amazing thing. And I'm praying for this morning, praying for the ethnic groups in our community. And I'm contending, and I'm saying, God, you're going to bring people from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Every language group, God, every people group are going to find you in the house of the Lord. Why? Because I'm expecting to reap what we've sown. Everybody say, call to action. I want to just challenge you. Let's be planters of hope, planters of encouragement, planters of love, planters of kindness, planters of truth, planters of righteousness, planters of generosity. But let's not forget about reaping those things as well. I'm calling you to sow and reap this Easter. In the back on your way out, we've made some experience Easter invitation and their door hangers. We actually could have did this on a postcard, but we did it on a door hanger because we're not asking you to canvas the entire city. We're not asking you to canvas, you know, your entire neighborhood. You can do that if you want, but all we're asking you is, would you take responsibility to sowing, come on, an invitation for Easter just for the people on your street, your neighbor on your left or your right. There's bundles back there of 20 to 40 door hangers you can take. And listen, I'm not asking you just put them on the doors. No, I'm asking you to pray them on the doors. Come on. I'm asking you to put them. And when you put them on the door, Lord, I don't know this person yet, but Lord, I know that you want to know them. And we just go and we begin to prayer walk our neighborhoods and we begin to prayer walk our neighbors and we begin to invite them. How do you know if we invite, they can't come unless we invite them. And so I want us to sow, expecting, come on, our neighbors to join us for Easter. We're believing for 1,000 people on Easter. Listen, there's no reason why we can't do that. That's three services, right, of 333 people plus the preacher, all right? We're already doing that. That's why we're going to a Saturday night. Listen, we've got to. So we also have social media invites. And for those of you that are Instagram, if you're not on social media, don't worry about it. This is just for the folks that are for a minute. And so if you have Insta story, you can actually tag three friends to invite and put this on your Insta story and you can invite those people. I'm going to be inviting people, listen, that know about our church that we've worked with in the community and I'm going to invite them on a Sunday. Amy and I are going to pray these on the doors of our neighbors. And so join us in that. Amen. Secondly, a season to serve. Everybody say a season to serve. And two areas, a season to serve our body and a season to serve our city. This is what I believe, you guys. I believe God is calling us to give the best of our lives to one another, not what's left of ourselves to one another. You know there's a difference? God has always required his people to present themselves wholly in service as they give the best to him in their sacrifice. Amen? Romans 12:1 says, "So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, kind he will find acceptable." How many know there's such things as acceptable offering and things that are not acceptable? This is truly the way to worship him. And God is calling to give us the best of ourselves. Listen, not the what's left of ourselves to our body, to one another. Romans 12, verse 4, and I'm just going to read verse 6, actually. It says, "In his grace," everybody say, "in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well." It goes on to say, so if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If God has given you the ability to teach, it says, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's leadership, lead well, right? God wants us to do things well. And so many times when it comes to the service of the Lord or serving our body or serving one another, listen, you don't get the best of me. You get what's left of me. And how many know God always desires the first and the best. You say, "Pastor Dean, I don't have time to invest in the local church." I would say this to you. I was challenged as a young 20-something by Winky Prattney. Some of you guys remember Winky Prattney. And he challenged us. We didn't have no money, so we weren't tithing money. We barely worked. But we were given what we had. And I remember he said, "Listen, it's not about just your money." He said, "Have you ever thought about tithing your time?" How many of you have ever said this? "I don't have enough time." Just you. All right. How many you say, "Okay, I don't have enough time." He said, "Why don't you think about tithing your time?" And he said, just start off with 3 hours a week and just sow that into your local church. Do you know what? How many know our time seems to multiply when we put God first? When we make him a priority, just like our finances and God begins to bless us, when we begin to sow our time, how many know God can make your day longer? Yes, he can. When you make him first, how many know when you seek him the first part of your day, it seems like everything falls in place sometimes. Why? Because you made him a priority. You see, we're at a place as a church family, and our staff is at a place where we're asking for the best of what God has graced you with for the next season of expansion God has us in right now. And so Saturday night service, as I mentioned, Easter weekend, we already have 25 people who said yes to serving. But I'm just going to tell you the truth. To do it well, everybody say well. To do it well, we're going to have to ramp up our children's ministry on Saturdays and Sundays. We need these areas. Listen, I brought these youth up here so you could see for yourself. Investing in our youth and kids are worth it. They are absolutely worth it. And listen, you got Mission on the who was up here, or Antonio. Antonio was up here, and he's an artist himself. He's a rapper on the rise. Hallelujah. He's a rapper, and I just know I just kind of maybe put these words in his head, but I believe maybe 3 months ago when he first started doing this, 4 or 5 months ago when he first saw the talent, I'm sure he was thinking to himself, "Man, what did I get myself into here?" Right. Right? Like, what did I wonder? And then the second and the third month went by, and he began to see the talent and their anointing rise up. And then yesterday, going down there, come on, and seeing these kids walk away with medals, how you know he's a life-dedicated volunteer in the youth department now, right? Why? Because they're worth it. He's sowing and reaping. God just doesn't want you to sow and sow and sow, 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 sow. Gone. No, he wants you to sow and reap the rewards of what he's doing. Sundays, we're experiencing a lot of momentum, but in order to sustain what God's releasing to us, We need your strength. Wednesday night's the same thing. We need some people who have a heart to see our discipleship go to the next level with our kids, with our children, with our youth, with our adults, everything. And on your way out, we've put this together, a RLC SAC ministry opportunity. You see the banner back there, it says, get involved. And what we've done, we've created three different levels so everybody could get involved here at Real Life. There's a level one ministry opportunities, which is the minimum amount of your time. It's what you could do. Maybe that's where you start. There are level two opportunities and there are level three opportunities. And there's an application on the back of this guide. Listen, where God is taking us, listen, we need you to serve the body and serve it well. Stop there on your way out. And the second thing is serve the city. Everybody say, serve the city. In 2018, I had a dream, and in the dream, we were at a park, and we were celebrating. There was a lot of festivities going, and Mayor Pro Tem Angelique Ashby is in the dream, and I just give her a side hug, and I wake up. And I don't usually dream like that, but it was a significant dream, and I asked God, Lord, what did that dream mean? And I just heard him say to me, he said, I want you to embrace the city. And so we have, and out of this, we've seen Love Natomas. Because how many know that the blessing that rests on Real Life, God wants that blessing to flow through Real Life, amen? And so everybody say, call to action. I mentioned this again, but our Easter egg thing is coming up. They've had us do, actually, guys, they're giving us the response. We had to put together, I think we put already about 25,000 to 30,000 eggs, and they said 30,000 more are coming. So 60,000 eggs, we're snapping together, we're putting together. But more than that, on that morning, Saturday morning before Easter, April 20th, we need at least 75 volunteers. And again, you can sign up on the Love Natomas website. And I'm going to share more about this at our leadership lab, which I'm going to tell you about in just a second. Secondly, it's Love Natomas. Everybody say Love Natomas. The website is there below the egg hunt volunteer needs. There's the May 4th event. We've taken on park projects as a church, and you can sign up even now. You can go and you can choose what park project. It'll say Real Life. Everybody say Real Life. So each church has taken a project and they put their name before it. Sign up for the ones that say Real Life Church and more to come. The back of your weekly is ideas that if maybe you want to do something different than a park project, you want to do your own project. Maybe you say, you know what? I can't participate because I got a baseball game that morning. But how about if the church empowered you and we bought waters and sunflower seeds so you could pass out to all the fans? Come on. So we want to empower you individually so that you could participate on any level. And these are some ideas. And you could submit a project, any project or idea online. You can go there, click submit a project. You see that? You can fill it out, and it'll come right to myself and our team, and then we'll approve it. If it needs funding, thing. It's a season. Now catch this. Send. Everybody say send. Say, not sin like I'm sinning, but I'm sending like I'm sending a letter. I said that first service like a season to sin, and everybody just looked at me, Pastor, I don't want to sin. It was hilarious. I'm like, what happened? And they said, oh, we thought you said a season to sin. No, a season to send, S-E-N-D. Have you ever noticed that assistant coaches who support the head coach on winning teams always get recruited for other head coach job openings and opportunities? It's true. Josiah had a offensive coordinator who got let go during the coaching transition. He went to the LA Rams as the receivers coach, and now he's the head coach for the Cincinnati Bengals. Why? Because the LA Rams had such great success, right? They called it, when there was a vacancy, they called his number. You see, when things are going well, when things are going good, how many know people want, they want to know, hey, what's going on at Real Life Church? Hey, what's going on there? And so over the last, over the last couple of months, I've been getting numerous calls of saying, hey, do you have a children's pastor? Do you have a youth pastor? Hey, do you have anybody that can play drums? Do you have anybody that can lead worship, right? People are coming because they know my heart in not just raising up leaders, but releasing leaders. You see, as we are sowing and serving, leaders are going to take notice about what we are reaping, and they're going to want what's happening at RLC to happen at their church ministry and organization. So what's that mean for us? It means we're going to be sending people to assist local churches. We're going to be sending people to help serve our city through nonprofits and parachurch ministries. I've been contacted by an influential leader in the city just asking, hey, I need an administrative assistant. It's not even a ministry. They're just calling and saying, I just need a really, really good person for this job. You see, what you need to know about me, and I'm going to close here in a couple minutes, don't worry, is that I am the type of leader that's not going to hide you and hold on to you. I'm the type of leader, listen, that's going to release you to do greater things, more than I ever could do on my own. And so listen, it's like yesterday, I just had a proud pastor moment, right? Literally, tears were coming to my eyes as I seen these youth hugging with their medals on and different things. Why? Because man, I'm looking at world changers right before us. It gets me so excited. Listen, that some of these kids will be youth pastors. Some of these kids will be RNs and nurses and teachers. They'll be in ministry, but they might not be in the church ministry, but they'll be in ministry because they'll remember what happened in youth group. They'll remember a youth pastor and coaches and people who invested in their lives for something bigger, come on, than real life church. Come on, somebody. So Wednesday night, I'm kind of building your expectation, because on Wednesday night, whether you're involved or not, I want you to show up on Wednesday night. If say, you know what, I'm getting involved, you can grab a thing on your way out. But listen, whether you're involved or not, no matter what level of leadership you're on, serving, leading, whatever you're doing, I want you to come, because for this season that we're in, because we're in it, how many know we're in it? I want to commission everybody by laying my hands. Our team is going to lay hands on everybody and anoint you with oil. And come on, and send us in this next season together. Amen? So how many know we need the Holy Spirit? Come on, that's the symbolic of the Holy Spirit. We need God's anointing to rest on us for what he wants to do in this season. Especially this season. There's a lot going on. Amen?